Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Good afternoon and welcome to One Bills Live. I'm John Murphy. Next to Steve Tasker, we are radio only today. Why? We don't have enough staff on the job to do a TV show. No, what are you laughing about? It's true. We don't have enough people. It's me and you and two others here to do the show, but we're going to do it for 3 hours on the radio only. So if you're used to seeing us on MSG today, you won't, and you probably won't until further notice.
Yeah, I didn't think about it. I should text my mom and dad. They'll be back there wondering what. I can't get them on air. You know, they'll do it.
Really, your impression of your parents?
Well,
wow.
I gotta do that before I text them and tell them to start listening on radio. So they don't hear. But yeah, that. Yes, I get the thumbs up. Now we got Jay in the room with us now too. That's gonna be an issue.
Back off.
You're usually Jay, there's a control room for the control room for our show. The TV simulcast is a different room. Now we're gonna sit here and stare into the lovely eyes of Jay Harris all day.
We're in a different room at One Bills Drive. It's not the Seneca Studio anymore. It's what? What do we call it? I don't know.
We're going to call it the Seneca Studio. It's moving with us.
No, that kind of takes away the importance of being the Seneca Studio.
The what's it called? The prominence? No. What's the right word?
I don't know.
It's going to be weird. For all that's going on in the football world, Murph.
A lot.
A lot. I mean, we have our loyal listeners that have repeatedly raised their eyebrows, to say the least, at us talking so much about Tom Brady last week. Well, here we go.
We're going to have to talk a little bit about Tom Brady today.
The guy's gone.
I apologize.
And the Wicked Witch is dead, and he's going someplace else. Now, the Bills trade for Stephon Diggs overnight. They sign a couple, three other guys overnight. And we've got, and listen to this. This is the thing. Amari Cooper, the guy that everybody, all the Bills fans, a lot of Bills fans thought, man, let's get Amari Cooper. He'd be great if we could get him. Well, he signed for $20 million a year with the Cowboys. We got Steph Diggs for 11. That's a pretty good deal.
Pretty good.
Pretty good deal. And some draft picks. We gave him our first round pick this year, so we're 54 is our first pick. And now the draft is like you can take a deep breath and say, you know, we may still get a wide receiver in this draft. You know?
Yeah, sure.
We might even take another wide receiver in this draft.
Sure.
I don't know. 54th pick overall?
Yeah.
You might probably get a good one. Still.
We do have to talk about Tom Brady today. And if you're one of those offended when we're not talking exclusively Bills, turn the station off. Because it's the story of probably the decade in the NFL. Right? Isn't it? Tom Brady.
It's the story of this offseason, that's for sure.
Tom Brady, after 20 seasons with the Patriots, announced on social media his football journey will take place elsewhere. Plenty of speculation about what went on. The conversation he had last night with Belichick, I don't think Kraft was involved, but Belichick and Brady involved on the phone. Brady had a tweet today just thanking everybody. Thank you for the past 20 years of my life and the daily commitment to winning and creating a winning culture. He says, I appreciate everything that we have achieved. I'm grateful for our incredible team achievements. It changes the picture in the AFC, in the AFC East, and the NFL, quite honestly. And we're going to talk about the AFC and the NFL. Right. The Bills made a big splash last night. What time was it, 10:30 last night? They acquired Stephon Diggs from the Minnesota Vikings for multiple draft choices. Minnesota gets this year's first round pick, the 22nd overall. They get fifth and sixth this year. Those were surplus picks. The Bills still have a fifth and a sixth, and they get Buffalo's fourth rounder next year. The Bills get Stephon Diggs and a 2027th rounder from the Vikings. Stephon Diggs, 26 years old, that's all. Second year of a five-year, $72 million contract. Averages about $11 or $12 million per year on the cap in the remainder of his contract. Last year, 63 catches, 1,130 yards, six touchdowns. A year before, he had 102 catches and, of course, the Minnesota Miracle. Where do you want to begin, Brady, Diggs, or some of the other
Friends?
I should ask that of our listeners, too.
You can tweet at us or call. I don't know. Are we taking calls today, Brady?
Sure,
okay, we're
going to
take calls. But we're neck deep in it now that we've been waiting on it for weeks, and finally it's here. And
it is unfortunate that it's here under these circumstances.
Yeah,
can
it
I
is.
Say that?
I will say this, that we just got a tweet from Cold Pizza. He says, I just wanted to thank you guys for coverage, especially during this difficult time. It's been nice to have somewhere to turn to for some normalcy, in quotes. Well, yeah.
We're normal, all right.
Well, it's a hard call to make. Even the leadership here in this building, there are, you know, a ton of people aren't here, man. We're here, and there's like a hand, literally a hand.
Are you beating me? Do you want me to say
something?
Like
a handful of people here. It's a hard call to make, so here we are, we're doing the show, and there's a lot going on that we're going to have to talk about, but we appreciate people listening to us, and we hope that, you know, for people who are tired of all the constant news conferences on television, you can tune into us and maybe get diverted from which is kind of what we are, as a distraction.
I know
today.
You disagree with this, but I do feel compelled to repeat my assertion yesterday that the NFL did not have to start this league year tomorrow. They did not have to start free agency yesterday. It does look tone deaf. And the signings, I know that many sports fans, many football fans are like, oh, great, we have a distraction. Maybe you don't need a distraction right now. There's some serious stuff going on. The city of San Francisco is shut down.
Yeah.
Restaurants are closed. People
losing
jobs.
Bars.
I have children who have lost their jobs already. Yeah. I mean, it's not a good situation. I'm here. We're going to talk about it, but I think it looks tone deaf.
Yeah, and
for the NFL to do this, I really do.
And I'll tell you this though, the thing that surprises me, and you're not alone in that. I know there's other media people that have been on my timeline that have said the exact same thing. I've been shocked at the amount, the lack of pushback from people on and Twitter. You know, Murph, we live in Twitter.
Well,
I mean, everybody on Twitter has an opinion, and most of them are pretty hostile. You know. And I'm surprised that the league is not getting any more pushback than they have about, you know, going on with things like nothing's going on, you know. But, you know, and we're part of it. I mean, we're sitting here, you know, doing the show, and we're not getting any pushback from people like saying, what are you doing on the air? Why aren't you talking about, you know, the quarantines and the self-quarantining and all the report and all that stuff? I'm shocked at how little pushback we've gotten, and I'm happy to be here. I have no problem doing it. It's a risk for you and me and for the guys here in the room with us, but I'm surprised that not a lot more people don't feel like you do.
How do you know they don't? Because they don't show up on your Twitter timeline?
Yeah.
Twitter is not an accurate representation.
I know,
of public
but usually opinion. It's on both extremes. We'd get, you know what I mean? I'm surprised. And we got one positive text. I mean, one positive tweet over the last 2 days, and hasn't been even all over the map. I mean, it's like nothing. It's really weird to me. And I think that it goes to the point, like, everybody's disoriented mm-hmm. about how to live your life, what you can do, what you should do, what you feel good about, what you have a problem with. And you know, it's really a strange time we're living, unprecedented. I mean, good grief. You and I are on the older side of life. We've never been through anything like this in our lifetime.
Nobody else has.
And I think young people, I think for them, maybe they're more resilient than we are. I don't know. But by the same token, it's really difficult to get a handle on how you should act in a moment-to-moment basis, let alone big picture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So what do you want to start with?
Yeah, right.
Let's start with Diggs or Brady as we bury our head deeper into the sand.
We're at a point in time where nobody carries loose change in their pocket either, so I can't even flip a coin. To say whether we should talk about Brady or Diggs. Right, let's talk about Brady and get right. Well,
are you sure? Because
no, let's talk about Diggs. That's about a Diggs. Bills thing.
It's a big addition.
Oh,
it's
my gosh.
A good receiver, one of the top, what, five receivers in the NFL right now?
He's good. He had it down year last year. And that's
down
part
last
of the
year.
And the only issue that I have with it is he was a little bit snarky last year with the Vikings.
Yeah.
He threw his helmet on the sidelines.
What
had
got
a
him going last year? Do you know?
Apparently his relationship with his quarterback, Kirk Cousins, either he wasn't looking towards him enough or whatever. Now, he showed up and played a lot, but I also heard he skipped some practices.
Yeah.
And from our experience in the last 3 years, that's not going to fly here. That's not going to fly here. Now, there is a guy here in Buffalo on the staff here who was in Minnesota up for the first 2 years of the 4 years of Stephon Diggs' career in Minnesota. He was in Minnesota, a guy here, so he has firsthand knowledge of the type of guy he is. As reported, and I can't remember which guy. I think it was on the scouting side.
Oh, yeah, Malik Ray.
Yeah. So I have, you know. He probably gave the guy, said, you know what, my dealings with him, he was great. And I don't know what's happened since then, but he signed a new extension. He's got, what, 3 years left on it, or 4 years left on that deal?
4 years.
Yes, 4 years left on this deal. So they're going to get a good solid 2 years. If they're two big years, they may sign him to an extension or restructure the deal to give him some more guaranteed money to make him happy if he comes through and plays really well. But, man, oh, man, what a move it was for the Bills.
Big move.
It's a big
and
move.
They gave up a lot. Let's discount that. They took themselves out of this year's first round. If you believe they were going to get a receiver in the first round, well, they've got a guy, a proven quantity first receiver now outside of the first round. I think the fact that they have extra picks in the fifth and sixth makes that a little bit easier to swallow, and it's a fourth rounder next year. That's a lot. So they gave up a pretty steep price, especially, by the way, Steve, as they are noting in Houston. If you look at what the Arizona Cardinals gave away to get Deshaun
DeAndre Hopkins. That was another huge deal.
But they gave away virtually nothing.
It seemed lopsided.
Yeah.
Lopsided.
And by comparison, the Bills gave up a lot to get Stephon.
Now, we said this before. Now, was when the Arizona Cardinals sent Johnson, the running back, to Houston, did they keep his salary?
I think they kept the majority of
it. That's a big deal. That's a big nut to swallow. Because he's a high
back.
Price.
Yeah, and he makes a nice
but
nice salary.
Still, they got DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Maybe that's arguably amazing. The number one receiver.
You know, one of the guys we've had on the show from time to time talking about Stephon Diggs and what he brings is Matt Bowen on NFL Matchup. We've had Matt Bowen on. He's on, of course, the co-host of NFL Matchup with our own Greg Cosell, who's on our show regularly. Matt Bowen tweeted out some things about Stephon Diggs. For those Bills fans who aren't really as familiar, when they've heard the name, don't know, here's what Matt Bowen, a few things Matt Bowen said about Stephon Diggs and the kind of wide receiver he is. The guy's got route running. He runs all the routes.
Yep.
He's got vertical speed. He's catch and run on slants and shallow routes. He can catch it and get up the field and turn a small play into a big play. He's got a plan. He can beat press coverage. He's got all about that. The Bills can also get isolation matchups wherever they need him to be because of the guys they've got on the roster. And he also can run play action. He fits perfect in that because he can get deep over the top on play action passes and open everything up underneath. So he is a totally number one wide receiver. He's not a big physical guy, but he is a number one wide receiver because he can do all of those things. And he's a he wins 50-50 balls. He's physical. Even for his size, you're right. This Steph Diggs move is big. Now, it cost the Bills 22 overall, the number one 22 pick overall, plus some ancillary picks like a sixth rounder and maybe a fourth rounder next year. But they get back.
It is a fourth rounder
right.
This year and a fifth and sixth this year.
Right. And then they also got back a seventh rounder, I believe, something like that. So that was, you know, it's a throw in. But nevertheless, you're not going to get a wide receiver with the 22nd pick of the draft that's any better than Stephon Diggs, in my opinion. What do you think?
I agree with that.
Unless something's not ready to go right away, that's for sure. Right, exactly.
A receiver contribute right away. You call him a number one, and we've discussed this for a couple of months. The Bills, we had said, it was said to us, and I agreed with it, we're not looking to establish a new receiver room. They were looking to finish it.
Right.
Have they finished it now? And in particular, when you look at Stephon Diggs' size and and length. Don't they still have a need? Maybe it's maybe they have the guy on the roster, but don't they still have a need for a big receiver, a red zone target? I think they do.
Yeah, they might, unless they've got plans to, you know, for a three or four wide out set where you put, you know, Knox and Croft on the field at the same time, along with Tommy Sweeney. You got all these 6'5", 6'6", tight ends out there. Maybe you match one of them up. Maybe you have some creative way to do it that way. And those guys are your red zone targets. But that, you know, then you become predictable, you know. But, yeah, that's a problem. I think, and let's face it, you talk about one of the things that was a glaring problem for the Bills last year. Gosh, Murph, they got to score more points.
Sure.
Their offense was much more effective last year and moving the football, staying on the field at times, and, you know, a little bit more reliable. Not great, but a little bit more. But they needed to score more points. They had to find a way to get in the end zone. They certainly could have used the long ball once in a while. To hit a home run once in a while would have helped them, but they just couldn't do it. And I think the lack of a big-time number – no, I'm saying whatever, a huge guy.
One,
a huge guy.
What does it mean when you say he's the number one receiver?
Well, think about
that's
it.
That's a characterization that I've sort of rejected over the last year, too. Is John Brown number one? I don't know. He was the number one leader in receptions for the team. Is Stephon Diggs number one? I don't know. John Brown's pretty good.
Yeah.
John Brown caught more passes than Stephon Diggs did a year ago. Stephon Diggs is a good quality receiver. Like I said, one of the top five in the league. What does it mean when you say – I'm not disputing that he would be the – number one target this year, but is that what constitutes a number one? I don't know what it means to say he's our number one receiver.
I think to me, if you're going to say it, it's got to mean this, that guy is going to win any one-on-one matchup you put him in, including the red zone. You know what I'm saying? Even a fade route in the red zone, he's going to be the guy and he's going to win. Now, if you can do that at 6 foot or 5'11 or 6'3 or 5'9, Steve Smith, the great Carolina receiver, was a big but he was a number one receiver. He's 5'9", you know, so guys can do it, but that's what a number one's got to be. He's got to be a winner in any one-on-one matchup. He's got to be a winner, and Steph Diggs has that rep. He's got that reputation for being that guy. John Brown, while he was really productive this year for the Bills, I don't know if you put that full stamp on him. That he was a win, and I saw him beat some double teams too. So John Brown's a really good, and I'll tell you what, there is absolutely no doubt that whatever you label John Brown or Stephon Diggs or Cole Beasley, they are way better today than they were yesterday.
No question.
Way better.
No question. All right, let's talk about the downside to Stephon Diggs, and you pointed it out. I'm reading ESPN, and I knew this, and it was pretty obvious back then. Diggs showing signs of visible frustration last season, boiled over after a Week 4 loss at Chicago. He was fined $200,000 for unexcused absences from practices and team meetings the next week. He said then he had not communicated anything in regard to requesting a trade, but there was, quote, truth to all rumors amid the assumption that he was unhappy with the state of the Vikings offense, which had shifted toward a run-first approach and his role within it. Things gradually settled down. Diggs recorded a second 1,000-yard receiving season. The Vikings were adamant early this offseason. They were not interested in trading him. They traded him nonetheless. What do you make of that? And it's not a huge eruption, but he did go public with his objections to, you know, to what was going on there with the offense, I guess, with his role in the offense, and hinted that he may be interested in a trade. Are the Bills ready to accept that kind of a player in their not just the receiving core, but in their locker room?
I would have to think they would not be okay with it unless they had face-to-face assurances from either, well, from Diggs himself, of course, from his representation, from Vikings personnel, from their experience with it. They would have to do some digging to find out all the ins and outs of why it went south for a little bit there last year. Certainly having a 1,000-yard season at the end of it all after he had got off to a rough start says a lot about, you know, the guy's ability to be productive even if he was unhappy. And if he wanted out of there and he made that known to the Vikings, I think the Vikings made the right move in making sure they traded him even if he was a good player and they didn't want to. Getting a number one and a number four, five and six for him is big. And I think the Vikings, rightly so, got a good haul of draft picks, draft capital for him. But the Bills were only paying $11 million a year for the next 4 years. And that is really, really attractive.
I like this tweet from Nick Blake. a number one wide receiver is who's ever having a big game on Sunday. I think he's right.
Yeah.
Diggs, and he will have big games, and he will, if that's the definition, he will be a number one receiver, I think, more than once. I would hope more than once. I agree with that. But I kind of don't accept the characterization of who's the number one, who's number two. I don't know. I don't know what it means. I don't think anybody knows what it means, except for, as Nick Blake says, who's ever having a big game that day. All right, let's talk about some of the other things. Let's keep with the Bills. Jordan Phillips is headed to Arizona, got a three-year, $30 million deal from the Arizona Cardinals, turned in his career season last year, 9.5 sacks. The Bills let him test the market. He tested it, and he won. Going to make an average $10 million a year. Considerable raise. We'll have SpotTrax Mike Giannini on later this week, but his market value was $6.7 million, and he gets $10 million a year average from the Arizona Cardinals. Okay, you win. Jordan Phillips, congratulations.
Yeah, good for him. And the Bills kind of answered that in some way is to get Mario Addison from the Carolina Panthers. And I was interested. I was looking at Mario Addison, the guy the Bills got to kind of, you know, they're still wheeling deal, and Mario Addison was coming. Mario Addison's 6'3", 260. He's really small for a defensive lineman. Sounds, you know, 6 foot 3 inches tall, 260 pounds. That's not very big for a defensive lineman. The guy's got at least nine sacks in all four of the last 4 years. So he's really productive, and I think he may be exactly the same kind of guy that Ed Oliver is. So both those guys with speed rushes and high motors, it may do some good things for Buffalo's pass rush down inside on obvious passing downs if you can get them on the field at the same time. And you mix that with the return of Harrison Phillips and Starlo Tulele, you've got four pretty good guys there playing. Now, I don't know that Addison is a defensive end, defensive tackle.
Yeah. That's why the size.
Right. It's not as big an issue.
Right.
So it's going to be so the Bill – now, he's old. He's 32, I believe.
33. He'll 33. Be 33 in September.
He'll be 33 in September. He's got a lot of miles on his chassis, but he has been productive and been productive in the recent past. So Mario Addison is a guy who the Bills answer with a defensive end to answer the loss, really, of Shaq Lawson more than Jordan Phillips.
Any thoughts on the departure of Jordan Phillips?
He knew it was going to happen.
Will he be missed?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think he – you know what? And this is just me as a little guy who played. It's a world of big men. Jordan Phillips is a big man. He was 6'3 plus and way over 300 pounds. I might have been 6'5 plus. He's a big dude. He's a big body down inside. That makes me feel good about your ability to stand up against the run when you've got big bodies down there. Now he's 6'6, 341. The guy's huge. So that kind of
yeah, you're going to need a big man.
You need some big guys.
Keep that rotation going.
Starlo Tulele is a great example of that. All these guys down inside, and Harrison Phillips is big. He ain't that big.
Right.
You know, I think they need some more big bodies down inside to stand up against the run. I think they may get pushed around at times if they keep getting these guys that are like Ed Oliver and Mario. Now I can't remember Mario Addison. So, you know what I mean? I'm kind of uneasy about that.
It's been a busy 24 hours around here at One Bills Drive. The Bills made one signing that I'm really excited about. I liked this guy when I saw him at the Senior Bowl. I liked him with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is a limited guy. He's not going to line up and start. If he does, you're probably not doing too well. But Tyler Matakevich, former Temple linebacker, former Steelers linebacker, a seventh-round pick. Entering his fifth pro season, the Bills have added him. He is a special teamer. You talk about how do they replace Lorenzo Alexander? I think somebody made the point on the show last week. We'll get into this with Chris Brown. It may take a couple of guys to replace him because of the various roles he had. Here's a guy that can step in and replace, maybe take over the strong role that Lorenzo Alexander had on special teams. Tyler Matakevich, he's 27 years old. In 2017, he led the Steelers with 14 special teams tackles, blocked two punts, 2018. 10 tackles, 16 special teams tackles this past year. Julian Stanford is on the open market as a free agent, and Tyler Matakevich, I think, might be his replacement. The deal is said to be 2 years, maximum of $9 million. I really like Tyler Matakevich a lot. I think that's a really good signing.
Yeah, I think you've got to have a bunch of guys like that, and particularly I like guys who have had success, you know. It's easy enough to sign, you know, bodies, but Matakevich is a proven special teams contributor. And obviously he falls inside the Bills' search for that right DNA as well. They want guys who can come in, be good teammates. And so he's these. And I said this yesterday too, Murph, and you heard it. We knew the Bills were going to sign some guys that weren't household names and weren't, you know, didn't make you get all warm and fuzzy like the Stephon Diggs trade. But these guys are going to be real contributors, and it's Medakevich is exactly the kind of guy that's going to elevate maybe a couple of guys around him as well on kick coverage.
Another guy to replace Lorenzo Alexander signed last night, former Saints linebacker A.J. Klein. He gets a three-year deal, 3 years, $18 million. I would think he would replace the 50% of the snaps that Lorenzo Alexander was getting defensively for the Bills. Started 44 games with the Saints over the last three seasons. He played as an every-down middle linebacker and signal caller 2 years ago. Played about 75% of their snaps on the strong side the last 2 years. I think A.J. Klein is a good, solid addition. He's not going to light it up. He'll be 29 before they go to camp this year, or when they go to camp. Former fifth-round pick of the Panthers. Did play for the Carolina Panthers for Sean McDermott, which is a plus. Mm-hmm. There's no way around that.
Yeah, but he played better for McDermott than he did for the Saints, in my opinion. And I've heard some people report that. And I think, once again, McDermott has this idea about certain types of athletes really thrive under him. And you've seen it with Josh Norman, the corner who he brought, who had hit the home run with Washington. Now he's back with Sean McDermott. You've seen other guys come up here of really mesh in, and it's a type of cornerback and a type of defender who fit what Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier do in their defense, and it does seem to be specific guys. It's not just everybody who they can plug in and fit. And when they get the right guys, obviously you have a defense that ends up in the top three.
Yep.
Like it did last year.
Yeah, we've gone the whole first segment and kind of limited the Brady talk. People should be happy with that.
Yeah, listen, think about this, Murph, and this will give you a little warm and fuzzy feeling inside. We ain't going to be talking about him all that much from now on.
Well, we'll see. We'll see where he goes.
You know?
I think he's going to the Chargers. I maintain that position.
Well, if he goes, even so, they'll be here, won't they?
Oh, yeah. How about if they come here for opening day? A couple of tweets.
Wow.
IR Sean tweets in. I knew John Murphy would be salty today. One of a few people to think the Bills didn't need the star wide receiver edition. Go Bills.
No, that's not true. It was me. That was me, not Murph.
Yeah, go ahead. Think what you want, IR Sean. I'm not going to argue with anybody today. I'm not going to argue with anybody. Maybe Steve, I will.
You can argue with me. I'm the one who said that guy wasn't going to be the magic wand and elixir that's going to fix all the Bills' offensive problems. Murph was picking guys out. We both were. We thought that kid Claypool, Chase Claypool from Notre Dame.
By the way, why isn't he a factor now? Of course he is.
Yeah.
Second rounder?
Ooh,
third round?
Murph,
there's the big guy.
Are you climbing out on a limb there?
I think he could be here. I know they like him. I think he could be here.
Right.
Why not him?
Why not?
Our Twitter poll, we should get to that before we throw to break. We got Chris Brown standing by. I don't want to make Chris rate. I'm sure he's very busy today, but he'll wait for a second or two. Our Twitter poll deals with what's going on here. Yes, Brady's a part of it. Certainly Stephon Diggs is a part of it, and all the other additions the Bills have made. Here's our Twitter poll. Stephon Diggs headed to Buffalo. Tom Brady's out in New England. How do you feel today as a Bills fan? That's all we want to know. Got 900 votes in already, and 57% of you say, you're freaking out. The Bills are going to win the AFC East. They're tops in the AFC East. 34% say, I'm tempering my expectations. And 9% say, the Patriots aren't done yet. You can weigh in on that. Give us a call. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Brady's out. How do you feel? Stephon Diggs coming to Buffalo. Who's in charge? Who's the king of the AFC East now? Let us know what you think. We're going to talk with Chris Brown in a moment from BuffaloBills.com, Bills Insider at Bills.com. Chris Brown, when we return, it's One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, John Rudy, Steve Tasker. We are radio only today. I would apologize, but I don't feel a need to apologize. We're radio only. Sorry, that's all we can do today. Our crew is down in numbers and happy to be on with you on radio. Happy to be talking about the NFL. Ian Rappaport just tweeted this out. The Carolina Panthers finalizing a deal with Teddy Bridgewater to be their starting quarterback. New Panthers offensive coordinator Joe Brady gets a new quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. There is a basic agreement earlier today, an hour ago, the Panthers made it clear that they gave Cam Newton permission to seek a trade. Cam doesn't look happy about it, according to his tweets.
Yeah, he says, it wasn't me. They gave me permission to seek a trade. They told me I was out.
Yeah. You're out, and you have permission to seek.
Yeah, so go find somebody. We'll take what we can get for you.
Yeah,
I get it.
New coach, new setup in Carolina. I get it.
Cam's being a little sensitive to that, but that's the way you should handle it. Say, Cam, if you want to go out there, see if you can get somebody. Pick your team. Basic is what they're telling him. That I don't know. Well, I do know why. It's because it's Cam Newton.
Yeah,
and you see the font of his tweet.
Yeah,
good grief.
Well, we're too old to.
Yeah,
here's the thing. Cam has been good for them. 9 years he's been there. But he's had such a string of serious injuries that I can't blame a brand new head coach in Carolina saying, let's get a fresh start. Let's get Teddy Bridgewater, right? It makes sense.
Yep.
We haven't talked much about Brady, but we will. In fact, maybe we'll get our next guest to do that. He's on the line with us right now. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Home and healthy. And hi, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Pick it up a notch. We need more energy, Chris.
It's a happy day.
There you go. A lot going on today, Chris. Where do you want to begin, Bills or Brady?
Let's start with the Bills here.
Okay.
What'd
you think about
200, Alex?
Yeah. What'd you think about the Stephon Diggs trade? Give us your opening thoughts.
Wow. That is a difference-making move. There's no question about it. I don't think Stephon Diggs has played on the national platform that makes him as understood league-wide as to just what kind of talent he is. I'm not overstating this, guys. The Bills got themselves a top five receiver in the entire league.
I said that.
That's how good Stephon Diggs is.
Yeah. By the way, Chris, who comes to Buffalo to get on a national platform? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm just saying that league-wide, who do you see every week on the nationally, the games that cover the majority of the country? Minnesota's not one of those teams.
Okay.
And so I think in terms of household names and getting a true appreciation for the kind of player that Stephon Diggs is not something that's happened over the course of the last couple of years.
Oh, I see.
And so because of that, I don't think people, even though people know Stephon Diggs is a very good receiver, I don't think they know how good. This guy is elite.
Yeah.
Elite. He is a top five receiver in the entire league, and his best football is still in front of him.
Yeah,
he's 26 years old.
Amazing.
He's under contract at an affordable price for the next 4 years, although that's obviously subject to change. If he and his agent want to talk about, a new contract, maybe as soon as next offseason, that's up to them. But, guys, the reason this makes so much sense for the Bills is this. What have we heard both Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott say in this offseason? Both of them have said it multiple times. They need to score more points on offense, okay? So Diggs has scored 23 touchdowns over the last three seasons. That's fifth most in the league over that span. Do you know who he's tied with? He's tied with players like Travis Kelce and Michael Thomas in New Orleans. Just to give people a greater perspective on the type of talent that Stephon Diggs is. He is elite. And he will help put points on the board for this offense. This guy might be the best route runner that the Bills as a franchise have ever seen since Andre Reed.
Okay. So I'm going to let Murph give you our Twitter poll today, and I want you to answer honestly, Brownie, because it sounds like you're option A.
Stephon Diggs with the Bills, and Tom Brady leaves the Patriots. How are you feeling today as a Bills fan? Option one. I'm freaking out. The Bills are on top in the AFC East. Is that where you're at, Chris? No, you're not. You're more judicial than that, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm not going to be making predictions or anything like that. There's a lot of free agency to cover. There's a lot of draft to cover in the course of the offseason. But I would say after the Diggs trade happened, I was kind of like Ric Flair. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's
I had the same reaction. Yeah. I saw it on my phone last night, and I texted these two, our producer, Jay Harris and Steve, and I said the same three-letter word you did, Chris. Wow. Well, I had to sleep on it. I had to think about it. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal, but look, none of us it's great, and I think the Bills are better today than they were yesterday. And I got a lot of trust in Sean McDermott, his ability to lead this group. But the last thing you want to do is turn into the 2019 Cleveland Browns, where you got all these good players and you have things like that all of a sudden, and then you turn out, you go into a home wrecker of a schedule, and you're disappointing. You know, you don't want it to turn into that, and it's too early to tell. But certainly, and I told this to Murph, and I'll say it again, certainly, no matter what happens, the Bills are a better offensive football team today than they were yesterday.
Sure. Right, and you're only incorporating one major piece into this offense, not the wholesale changes we saw last offseason. So there's less to fit together to make it work, and that was not the case in Cleveland last year. They assembled all these different pieces, and they couldn't blend them together. The Bills did a better job of blending on offense last year than the Browns did, and they had far less talent to do that with.
Yep.
You know, granted, they did have a favorable schedule. Cleveland had a tougher schedule last year, admittedly, and the Bills are facing that this season. I don't think there's any question about it. But you cannot deny that Diggs is one of the best route runners the Bills offense has seen, certainly in the last decade. He's a consistent separator. He is a big play threat. I'm going to give you some next gen stats, guys, and I know you don't want to get too deep in the weeds with this stuff. Diggs led the NFL last year in deep receptions. He had the highest catch rate on deep receptions, and we all know how connecting on deep balls was a problem last year for this offense. He also led the NFL in yards per target at 24 yards. His 18 yards per reception last season was not only a single-season career best for him, it was tied for fourth in the NFL last year. Only five receivers in the league, guys, had more 20-plus yard receptions than the 20 that Diggs had last season, and five of those went for touchdowns, which was tied for the second most in the league. The guy is a point producer. That was the I'm telling you, I'll be shocked if Brandon Bean says, you know, whenever he's available for comment, that was not the number one factor in what attracted them to Diggs. The guy puts points on the board, plain and simple.
I'm trying to think. I don't want to dwell on Diggs because we only got a few minutes left with you, Chris, but you said route running. What else are his characteristics, his traits that have made him so productive? You can't argue with the production. You can't argue with the numbers, the, you know, next-gen stats you just cited. But what do you think – how does he do that aside from running good routes? What else does he have?
Well, I mean, he's got speed. He ran a 4.46 at the combine. He's got leaping ability. You know, he's got a 37.5-inch vertical, so even though he's 5'11 or 6 foot, you know, he could still out-jump people. And the guy's a tough son of a gun. You know, it's a guy that will battle. You know, he's cut from the cloth that I think Sean McDermott looks for in players. He's a guy that plays angry. And you don't always get that at the wide receiver position.
Yeah.
And I think he does that. And, you know, I think people might have some level of concern with some of the issues that were at play in Minnesota, and I get that. But I think the rub there was Minnesota could never decide who their number one wide receiver was, whether it was him or Adam Thielen. And I think that was somewhat of an issue there. There was
I think Minnesota wanted to run the ball last year. I don't think they wanted to throw
well,
it.
Well, yeah, and there's that element as well. But I don't think there was ever a clear delineation in the pecking order in Minnesota. And, you know, you would say, well, that shouldn't be an issue, and it can't be an issue here where it's a team-first focus. And I get all that, but – I'm sorry. Stephon Diggs walks in the door here at Buffalo, and that guy is going to be targeted 8 to 10 times a week. And to me, that's the definition of a number one wide receiver. He is going to be the primary target. When they need a play to be made in the passing game, whether it's red zone, backed up in their own end, they're looking for him primarily. That doesn't mean he's going to get the ball every single time, but a lot of plays are going to be drawn up for that guy.
I got a couple other Diggs questions for you, Chris Brown. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com on the line with us. What are we to make of what happened around 4 or 5 weeks into the season last year when he was fined by the Vikings and reportedly missed some practices? Those are serious issues. I know he might not have been happy with the offense. Okay, I get that. But what are we to make of that, and how much do you think the Bills took a look at that incident last year, 4 or 5 weeks into the year?
Oh, I'm sure they went through it with a fine-tooth comb. I mean, I don't think there's any question that everything that both Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott do is very methodical, very thorough, almost painstakingly thorough, and they do that for a reason. It's so they can make the best decisions for this team, and they're not going to half-ass anything, for lack of a better term. They do everything to the letter and then go through it again. And it's paid off for this franchise in terms of where they've positioned this team in 3 years. And this
so that's not an issue? That's not a big deal? Anything to worry about?
I guess what I'm saying is I think they vetted it out to the point where they feel comfortable with it. And to a further extent, guys, I think they feel that the locker room that they have been able to build from – a family and tight-knit standpoint is enough to absorb a player who might get a little bent out of shape every once in a while and keep him on the straight and narrow. I'm not going to say for a second that this guy is never going to get disappointed or frustrated. That's impossible to predict, and his history would indicate that it will probably happen again. But I think there is a structure in place in that locker room and with that coaching staff that's going to lend itself to keep those things at worst at a simmer where they don't boil over and create other problems for this football team.
Well,
I'll be honest with you, I think the root of where Diggs gets bent out of shape is because I think he believes he can help a football team more and never really had a true opportunity to do that enough on a consistent basis in Minnesota.
Well, I'll tell you this, too. If you're talking about an elite wide receiver like Steph Diggs, and you obviously believe that he's exactly that, Brownie, it's hard to find those guys who are categorized as elite and not have them be a little bit of an emotional wreck.
Diva is the word people use
Diva.
For receivers.
It's almost part of the job description for them nowadays. I mean, if they don't believe they can win every single time that the ball's in the air, they're not what they are, who they are supposed to be. So you're going to get some of that from every great wide receiver at times when a critical third down or a critical second down or a critical drive and they don't get an opportunity or more than one opportunity, they're going to be a little disappointed and frustrated. And so that's to me, is not a scary proposition to have a guy like that because that's part of what makes them who they are.
Right, and I'm sure the question was asked, and maybe they got an opportunity to talk. I mean, I got to look through the rules again. They may not have been able to talk to him directly, but I think the people that know him or, you know, they probably got in touch with people that know him and said, what is at the root of Diggs' frustration in Minnesota? And if at the root of the frustration is his being put off by the fact that he felt he could do more for that team and wasn't given an opportunity to do so, I think that's a frustration.
Sure.
That a team like the Bills can certainly live with.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, how you doing for time? Because I have one more Diggs question.
I'm fine.
And then what? You good? Can we keep you to the top of the hour?
Sure.
All right. Let me ask you one more Diggs question, and then I'll get to other stuff after the break. Here's what I think. I meant to say this at the top of our show. We're a little bit scrambly today. Steve and I publicly wondered what the next step would look like for the Bills. You know, a team that's been good about getting quality players, good citizens, a hard worker is kind of a, and not that Stephon Diggs is not, but this to me is indicative of a new step forward for the Bills by Brandon Bean saying, yes, we're willing to take a risk on a player, maybe. We're willing to take a high-priced player, not extremely high-priced, but a high-priced player in an effort to take the next step. I think it's a good sign that Bean did this. It answers the question to me, what does he have for the next step to get the Bills from a playoff contention team to a championship contention team? Going out and trading for Stephon Diggs, giving up a first-round pick to get Stephon Diggs, indicates that he knew he was ready to make a move, and I really like that. I like that a lot.
Right. And, you know, you can call it, you can assess the risk however you want. I see it as low risk personally. And the reason why is because you look at his age, 26. I still think his best football is in front of him. He's just entering the prime of his career, and he's only now putting up consistent year-over-year production. I anticipate that that is going to continue. You're doing it at an affordable price that is not breaking your bank and enabling you to stick to your philosophy of staying as cap-strong as possible with a $11.5 to $12 million cap figure each of the next 4 years. Did anybody see what Amari Cooper just got?
Yeah,
he got almost double what Stephon Diggs is slated to make each of the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So you look at that, and then you look at his unquestioned deep ball ability and scoring ability. It just made too much sense. And, you know, people say, oh, you gave up your pick at 22. It's pretty obvious to me that the Bills were not going to get a receiver who was going to instantly step into the league and be a top five player at his position in this league like Stephon Diggs is right now.
We got more for you, Chris. Stick around. Okay. We're coming back with more. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy and Steve Tasker in a what do we call this? We had a name for it last year.
To be a receiver.
It's the side room.
Oh, it was the Steve Esposito studio.
Steve Esposito
Memorial studio.
Yeah,
that's what we
call
it.
Even though we see him all the time.
It's a different studio for us, and we're radio only. And we got Chris Brown, Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com on the line for about five more minutes. Are you still there, Brownie?
I am here. Let's get it.
All right. Let's get to some of the other Bills moves. Can we start? This is personal favorite for me. I love the acquisition of Tyler Matakevich. I've admired his play in a limited role for the Steelers for 5 years. I think he's a really good player. I like the fact that he's a target and he's apparently signed by the Bills. What do you think?
I'm surprised Steve isn't just as excited due to some of the special teams exploits that Matakevich has put on tape the last 4 years. So, you know, this is a guy that is going to be a core special teamer for the Bills going forward. I think it's kind of flown under the radar a little bit, but one of their core special teamers, Julian Stanford, is a free agent, also plays at the linebacker position.
Yep.
With this signing, I don't anticipate that Stanford will be back in the fold. So Matakevich can fill multiple roles on special teams for you. And I think knowing you had lost Lorenzo Alexander to retirement, the potential loss of Julian Stanford, you needed a player like this to add to the fold. And I think it's a guy that can, you know, spot start for you should you succumb to injuries at the linebacker position. So it's a kind of role player that every NFL team needs. And a guy like Tyler Matakevich is going to be in this league for 10 years because of his ability to do that.
Pro Football Reference has his nickname on their page for him. You know what it is? Dirty Red.
Dirty Red.
Yeah, well, he's a redhead.
He's a redhead with a big red beard, too. Yeah. So, yeah.
Hey, Chris, you made the point on our show, I think it was last week, about replacing Lorenzo Alexander, and I think you were absolutely correct that it would probably take more than one man. So if Matakevich picks up the slack for the special teams work that Lorenzo did, A.J. Klein could pick up the strong side linebacker work, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I know A.J. Klein played a good deal in the middle for New Orleans in their scheme, but when he was with Carolina, he played all across the second level of the defense, chiefly as a backup at the beginning of his career. And, you know, he played strong side, he played weak side, he backed up Luke Kuechly. The guy knows the defense that the Bills play inside and out. He will be right back on the same page rather quickly, and I think he'll be able to hit the ground running in terms of executing in that scheme, and it wouldn't shock me if we get to September and the starting linebacker unit in the team's base package, you know, is Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds, and A.J. Klein. I think that's how it will work. So as far as replacing Lorenzo Alexander in the team's base package at linebacker, I think it's probably A.J. Klein. And then when you talk about pass rush packages, there's a very good chance you're talking about Mario Addison, the other addition, who, again, is wholly familiar with the defensive scheme that they play here in Buffalo. So, again, another player who's going to be able to hit the ground running and will be, you know, intimately familiar with what new defensive line coach Eric Washington wants to do, having had him as his defensive coordinator the last 2 years down in Carolina, as well as his defensive line coach.
Well, now that you've got those guys, Stephon Diggs, A.J. Klein, Medakevich, Mario Addison, and the Bills, it cost the Bills at the very outset the number 22 pick overall. What's next for the Bills? I mean, what do you see as their next personnel move? They kind of, wouldn't you think they'd have to kind of turn their sights on their own roster and maybe start thinking about, you know, Tre'Davious White and Poyer and Hyde and the young guys they've got under contract that maybe they want to extend?
Yeah, I mean, I think that becomes a little bit more of a priority. It's going to be very interesting to see how they handle this 2017 draft class of theirs, chiefly, you know, Dawkins, Milano, and White. You know, do they choose to address that first, or do they choose to get one of their veteran free agents or veteran players extended? You know, you mentioned Jordan Poyer's going into the last year of his deal. You know, do they address something with him? You know, how does it all factor in? I think it's going to be very interesting to see how they approach this. You would like to think that Tre'Davious White is priority number one, knowing he's about, you know, he's on the cusp of becoming a superstar player, and you certainly want to keep that guy in the fold because he's a representation and the personification of everything that Sean McDermott wants his players to be. Even the most talented guys on our roster do things the right way. I mean, he's the personification of that.
Yeah,
I would like to think that that happens, but at the same time, there are still some holes to fill here. I think with the additions that have been made, I think what you're looking at going forward is the offensive tackle position, whether that's finding a budget-priced free agent in a couple of weeks or addressing that in the draft. I think you also are looking at adding some youth at the cornerback position, and I think you have to still consider defensive tackle, whether it's a bargain free agent or whether that's in the draft. And guys, we cannot ignore the fact that size is still something that's needed at the wide receiver spot.
What do you think? Do you think the Bills, I know there's lots to be done and they're still got to fill out their roster. Do you think they're done over this tampering period before free agency starts? Do you think there's going to be other names popping up? How busy do you think they're going to be? Because all of us have been sitting around wondering, what are they going to do first? You know, are they going to do this first or that first? Now that they've made these moves off the bat, do you think they're done?
I think the big spending, first wave of free agency type stuff is done. You never know what could potentially come down the pike in terms of a trade or maybe some surprise player release, which could change the conversation. But I would be under the impression that the first wave big free agent spending for the Bills is probably done at this point. And then this is where you see Brandon Bean and his pro personnel staff, the work that they put in, this is where it's going to pay off. Going into the second and third week of free agency and really getting into all the nooks and crannies of the market and finding those value signings that are really going to help the back half of their roster in terms of depth and in terms of somebody that's going to be able to perform for you at an affordable price. This is where Brandon Bean and his staff do, in my opinion, some of their best work. in the weeks to come.
Hey, before we let you go, Chris, the Bills have suffered a couple of notable losses. Jordan Phillips signs on with Arizona. Shaq Lawson reportedly signing on with the Dolphins for average of $10 million each. That's way above what I believe the Bills are ready to spend on those two to keep them, right?
Yeah, I think they realized very quickly that the market was going to get too rich for them. And I think Brandon Bean, just from his comments at the Combine, had resigned himself to the fact that Lawson and Phillips were going to hit the market. And once that happened, the chances of retaining them dropped significantly. And so you've already seen them respond in one fashion, you know, with the term that they agreed to with Addison to kind of fill the Lawson role. And then we'll have to see where it goes at defensive tackle, whether they choose to find, you know, an affordable free agent in the weeks to come, or whether they decide to go via the draft to fill that, which is very possible. It's a very strong defensive tackle class this year. It's also a very strong cornerback class this year. So I wouldn't be surprised if they choose to go with an influx of youth at those two positions on the defensive side of the ball, and then, you know, focus on offense from here on out. You know, offensive tackle, you need some running back depth. And again, you know, you got to look at size for the receiver position. Maybe you find that in a young player in the draft. Gotcha. Somewhere.
Maybe we'll get you on tomorrow and talk some more about this stuff, Chris. You good? What, you got a busy day tomorrow? You going shopping or hanging out with a couple hundred people? What are you?
Definitely not doing that. Yeah. Heck, I'm not even hanging out with 10 people, right? Isn't that the rule now? So, I'm available.
Great.
Ready for comment. Just plug me in, man. I'll be ready to go.
Thanks, Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. When we come back, the Dolphins signed Shaq. They signed a couple of other notable wide receivers. We'll talk with our man Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald about that coming up when we return. And also, we're going to talk a little bit more about Stephon Diggs. We'll talk with Pete Bursich, color analyst on the Vikings Radio Network. All of that when we return. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. From our makeshift studio in Orchard Park today, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.